بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: أفضل أعمال أمتي انتظار فرج الله. صلوات. Friday belongs to the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Zaman, Waliul Asr, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajah al-Sharif. وهذا يوم الجمعة المتوقع فيه ظهورك. This is the day of Friday in which your appearance is expected. Our Imam is going to appear on a Friday, and it's not without a reason that our great scholars were specifically prepared. We need to be prepared all the times, but specifically on Fridays for the appearance. And preparation depends on the concept of intizar and awaiting of the Imam. It is extremely important and fundamental for every mu'min and for the survival of every mu'min's iman and faith to continue being focused on the concept of intizar, awaiting for the Imam, and being muntazir, quote unquote, in the true sense of the word. Because for a mu'min, we don't have much options available anyway. If a person who has faith does not fulfill the obligations towards the Imam of his time and is not a muntazir, a truly awaiting person, then this kind of person dies a death of truly awaiting jahiliyyat. then according to
this kind of person,
the authentic tradition of narrated from both the Sunnis and the Shias, according to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, has narrated this famous narration, Man mata wa lam ya'rif imam zamanihi mata mitatan jahiliyya. Whoever dies but did not recognize the Imam of his time, ma'rifat, in Farsi we say shanakht, in English we say it, the in-depth recognition of the Imam. This person who dies without the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition dies a death of jahiliyat, which we all know that the word jahiliyat refers to the time of ignorance, where people before the birth of the Holy Prophet were drowned in their ignorances and darknesses, and were not just ignorant but were feeling proud over their ignorance. So I usually translate the word jahiliyat as ignorancism, where it was part of their belief and practice to believe and to practice this ignorance based beliefs and policies. So, and that was the life of kufr and shirk, isn't that right? People were mushrik and kafir in those days. So any mu'min who doesn't have the ma'rifat of his imam in whose time he's living, the Prophet didn't say the ma'rifat of the previous imam in the hadith, that somebody can say, well, we all love Imam Ali alayhi salam and that's enough for us. We have extreme high love for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam and that's enough for us. That's not what the Prophet says in his hadith. What he says is Imam Zamanihi, Imam of his time. So it's our obligation to have the ma'rifat of the imam in whose time we are living. Just like, you know, in the incident that took place in the time of Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Uloom rahmatullahi alayh, such a great scholar of our history, one of the very unique personalities of the glorious Shia history. When somebody asked him, you know, he's called Bahrul Uloom, the ocean of knowledges, when somebody asked him that, why there are so many scholars but why are you so different, you are unlike the others, he said, because one day Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam had hugged me and the noor of ilm transferred from his chest into my chest. So he deserves to be different than the rest because he has that nuraniyat, he has that taharat of the qalb, that cleanliness of the soul, he has this tazkiyah and purification, he has ahliyat, he deserves. Like we say in Ilm al-Irfan, that you get what you deserve. Whatever you don't deserve, don't expect to get, because you don't deserve it. Whenever you become deserving, you'll find the blessing of Allah arriving your way. Allah is not a miser. So the point is that Sayyid Bahrul Uloom Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh, when he goes to the haram of Imam Ali alayhi salam to ask questions as usual, and the answer came this time that you go to and ask from Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, the imam of your time, which I'm paraphrasing this narration and all these narrations in my own words. So it is always an important issue in the eyes of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that we always turn to the imam of our time. If you look into the situations, if you look into the situations that the people some people are going through, they, when you talk to them, they think that we are fulfilling our duties, we are doing what it takes to do towards the Imam, and basically we are up to the mark. This guy comes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and talks to him about the concept of Imam al-Qa'im, the riser, the Imam who is the riser, who is going to rise up for the sake of justice, global social justice government. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam didn't say in response to this mu'min that Imam al-Qa'im is such and such son of mine who will be born on such and such year, in such and such year. This is not what Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said. Instead, he replies back to the person, "Kulluna qa'imun bi amrillah." We are all qa'im. We are all the ones who rise for the sake of the amr and command of Allah. The guy didn't understand the point that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was trying to make and to draw his attention towards. He didn't understand. So he posed the second question to the Imam, that afa anta sahib al-saif, does that mean, in other words, that you are the one who is the one, the owner of Zulfiqar, sahib al-saif, the one of having the sword? Because, you know, we have heard so much Imam sahib al-zaman al-islam is going to rise up with the sword Zulfiqar, sword of Imam Ali al-islam, isn't that right? He is the sahib of Zulfiqar, he is the owner of the sword called Zulfiqar. So does that mean that you are the one who owns the sword Zulfiqar instead of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam? That's what we think. It's only Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam who will be rising with the sword Zulfiqar, forgetting the whole theme behind the concept. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam again did not reply back to this mu'min that no, I am not the one who owns the sword of Zulfiqar. It's my son who will be born, you know, on such and such date. I am Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. No, he didn't say that. Instead, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replies back, "Kulluna sahibu saif wa warisu saif." All of us are the ones, we all are the owners of the sword. And we are all owners of, inheritors of the sword. So just like Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam is the owner of Zulfiqar today, in the time when this guy was present, Imam, and he's talking to the Imam of his time, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was the owner of Zulfiqar at that time, which he's ignoring. Isn't that right? So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is the inheritor of Zulfiqar, just like he's the inheritor of all the rest of the tabarrukat and those holy belongings of Ahlul Bayt, which are being transferred from one Imam to the other. The ring of Prophet Sulaiman, isn't that right? The sword of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Zulfiqar, the asa and stick of Prophet Musa, the qamis, the shirt of Prophet Yusuf, as it's commonly known. Actually, that was not the shirt of Prophet Yusuf in the real sense, because the shirt was actually for Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, because he was the one who wore the same shirt given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he was thrown into the fire lit by Namrud. At that moment he was wearing the same shirt, and then the shirt got transferred from one hand to the other, you know, one prophet to the other, one deputy to the other, and so forth, until it's reached the hands today, it reached the hands of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. So all those tabarrukat are the virasat, they are part of the inheritance of the prophets, which are being transferred from one prophet to the other, from one wasi and khalifa and imam to the other. So now Imam alayhi salam says, Imam Sadiq says to the person, "Kulluna waris sahibu saif wa warisu saif." We are all the owners of the sword and the inheritor of the sword. So then he still did not understand the point of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So he again poses the third question, "Afa antal Mahdi?" That means the same Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, we have been hearing about him so much, he's going to establish the government on the whole planet, establish the adl and justice and comprehensive Islamic Quranic social justice system on the whole world. The same Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, that Imam Mahdi, is that you who is Imam Mahdi? Again, Imam Sadi alayhi salam did not reply back to this guy, that no, it's not me. That's my son who is named as, his title is Mahdi. He didn't say that. My name is Ja'far ibn Muhammad, he is Mahdi. He didn't say that. He said, Kulluna Nahdi ilallah. All of us guide towards Allah. So the point that we learn, brothers and sisters, in the light of this narration, is that if the people of every Imam's time had performed their obligations towards the living Imam of their time, we would have gotten the same results that we are bound to get when Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam appears and he established the government on the whole planet. The similar government would have been long have been established by any of those previous Imams if the people had performed their obligations towards the walayat of the Imam of their time. Which the people failed to understand. The humanity, as a matter of fact, failed to understand the one basic fundamental rock bottom principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then no one has the right to rule over Allah's property except the Creator or His representatives. People never digested this basic principle of Allah, said they wanted to choose and elect their own rulers or select. And this is unacceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that His property can be usurped. Under whatever slogan, that doesn't matter what slogan and label you assign, at the end of the day, you're usurping Allah's property. So what matters is that Allah wants His property, the earth, to be ruled over by His people, His representatives. People don't want that. And now, the prophets have been passing by, informing the communities about the divine message, and the imams have been passing by, killed one after the other, and imams were killed because of the walayat, because they stood for the walayat and supremacy and authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, walayat means government. Isn't that right? When we say walayatul faqih, it means the government of faqih. Walayat in Arabic means government. So imams stood for the walayat and governance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah's law has to be supreme. Allah's values need to be final and ruling over the societies. And we need to lead our lives as Allah has commanded. So the Kalimatullah, Hiyal Uliya, is implemented. So the supremacy of the word of Allah is enforced. All the prophets were standing for that purpose. But people were focusing on, wrongfully focusing on the fact that we are going to support Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Some people claim like this, we are going to support Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, but they are ignoring the responsibilities towards the Imam of their time. And this behavior of the people landed them to a point that the Imam, final Imam, the 12th Imam, need to be taken away from them because they still fail to understand what Allah was asking them to do towards the Imam of their time. Since they were constantly ignoring their duties towards each of those 11 Imams, Allah is not going to trust. Allah is not going to accept the lip service claims of some people. So Allah had to take the 12th one away from our accessibility, so that meeting the Imam, meeting the 12th and the final Imam, who is the Khatamul Awsiya, the seal of all the prophets, seal of all the deputies, is no longer a right. It's a privilege. And you have to earn the privilege. So Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam says that, لَبُدَّ اللهم صل على
محمد.
Sheikh Saduq rahmatullah alayh has narrated in Hilal al-Shara'ih, إِذَا فُقِدَ الْخَامِسْ مِنْ وُلْدِ السَّابِعِ فَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ فِي أَدْيَانِكُمْ. When the fifth from the lineage of the seventh is missing, then remember Allah, regarding your religions. لَا يُزِيلَنَّكُمْ عَنْ أَحَدٌ عَنْهَا. No one should be removing you from that. That means, in other words, we need to be steadfast on our faith and iman. In labud innahu labudda li sahib hadha al-amr min ghaibatin. This is compulsory. It is compulsory for Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam to have a ghaibat. Hatta yarji'a an hadha al-amr man kana yaqulu bihi. So those who claim, in other words, those who are falsely claiming to be the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, those false claimants can be separated from the pure and true claimants. Now Allah has His own strategy, which is different than the strategy as compared to the rest of the previous 11 Imams, because the Imam of our time is the seal of all the deputies and he is the final Hujjat of Allah. There's no Hujjat who is going to come after him. So that's the last option for humanity to come back to their senses and understand the basic principle that you need to stand for the walayat and governance of Allah. And you need to stop separating siyasat and hukumat and governance from the religion. People have been separating that big time, isn't it right? Actions speak louder. If we were not separating politics from the deen and the religion, our actions and behaviors would not be like this, generally speaking. So you find that people who become religious, their religious practice takes them to perform some more of those personal nature of ibadat, personal nature of the worships. Maybe a person ends up having Salatul Layl, Namaz Isha. You become very pious, very religious. You started to say your night prayers. You go for Hajj. You go for Ziyarat. This is extremely good. Nothing wrong with that. But the point is that people start doing things which they perceive to be personal, although none of the Islamic teachings are personal, entirely personal in nature, if you understand in the deeper sense of those teachings. But they perceive them to be personal, and that's why they're doing it. And why they are not doing those social and political obligations towards the Imam of the time, because they think that's going to harm their lifestyle and conveniences and pleasures and dunya in a nutshell. So basically, some people are practicing the Islam of convenience. Not the Islam of the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, but Islam of conveniences. The Islam with which we can protect our dunya in addition to doing some sorts of worships which we perceive are personal in nature. So no tahut can bother with our prayers and the sort of prayers that we are praying. Well, those sort of prayers you can even find in Israel. Did the government of Israel stop Muslims from praying prayers? Certainly not. That sort of prayers, nobody would bother to stop or block those prayers. The prayers which is separated from, Siyasat-e-Alawi, from Maulai Kainat ki Adilana Siyasat. See, when we talk about justice and politics in Islam, we are talking about the justice-based policies of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So now, this demand and supply, just like you have a demand and supply rule applying, the more the demand goes, the more would be the supply. Similarly, people must understand that what are we missing? People, the ni'mat, Allah doesn't take away any ni'mat from the people. He's not a miser. Allah is not bakhil. Bukhl is sifatun qabiha. Bukhl is a condemned attribute. Being a miser is a condemned attribute. And we say subhanallah. Isn't that right? And we are holding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above and beyond all the condemned attributes and all what they associate as partners with Allah and all the sifatul makhluqeen. all the attributes of the creatures. Allah doesn't have none of those. We say, Subhanallah, this is tanzih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah doesn't take away any blessing. Why did He take away the blessing of the 12th Imam? We are unable to access Him. We end up in all those problems that we are facing in our life. Not just we, Islam. Islam is suffering. Isn't that right? Islam is suffering. And that's why we should turn to the Imam for the sake of Islam, not for the sake of our personal hajat and desires and demands. Because that would be a very selfish approach and mean approach. Well, there are some people who turn towards Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam when they have a hajat. That's where they come to the Mawlana. Please give me a dua, you know. I want to marry my daughter. My son is sick. You know what, Mawlana? I lost my job. Can you please tell me what am I supposed to do? What side of amal, ziyarat of Ashura, dua, something that I can, you know, do so that I can get a job. So people, some people are such that they turn to the Ahlul Bayt for their own personal demands and goals and interests. How many of the people turn to Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam for the interest of Islam, for the sake of what Imam Sahib al-Zaman needs from me? Is there anything I can do for the Imam? Is there anything I'm supposed to do for the walayat of the Imam of my time? How many people think in those lines? What am I supposed to do towards him? What is he expecting from me? See, the title of the Imam alayhi salam is not only Al-Muntazar, the awaited one, who is waited by the people, not just by the people, he is waited by Allah as well. Allah is waiting for the time, for that time to arrive, that His rule be implemented through His deputy, to Allah's Khalifa. So he's also Muntazar, and plus Imam alayhi salam is Muntazir, that he himself is waiting. He's waiting for the time. Waiting for the command of Allah, waiting for that time when Allah orders him to show up and do what he's supposed to do without caring about anyone who can be an obstacle in his way. That's how the Imam is. The Imams never care about the people, what the people would think. Who cares about the people? Imam alayhi salam, like his ancestors, like all the Imams and the Prophets, he cares about Allah. So we need to turn to Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam for with the intention, what does he expect from me? Is there anything I can do for him? Just like this Abu Basir. Abu Basir came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said to the Imam, Yabna Rasulullah, Matal Faraj. We keep on praying for the faraj of him. Faraj means an opening in Arabic. We say, Allahumma ajjil fi faraj maulana sahib al-zaman. Isn't that right? We keep on saying those duas every now and then after our prayers. Faraj in Arabic means opening. That means this is a term that we use when the government of Imam Sahib al-Zaman Islam would be implemented. There will be an opening for Islam and Muslims, and we will be living a dignified and honorable life. Islam will get izzat and honored. Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. Don't we say in the dua al-iftitah, oh my Lord, we are keen towards you about an honorable government. Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema. An honorable government. We are talking about the government of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. That's the honorable government where iman and mu'mineen will be mu'azzaz. And kuffar and munafiqeen will be zaleel and dishonored. That's the type of government we are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka. Oh my Lord, we are keen towards you. Fi dawlatin kareema. Regarding an honorable government. Tu'izzu bihal islam wa ahla. A government with which you're going to make Islam and the believers of Islam as honored people. So we understand in the light of this dua that you become honored because of the Islamic government. Unless and until we have a government of Islam established, Muslims as a community, Muslims as a nation can never be honored. See, in Islam we have a concept of izzat, which is personal, and we have a concept of izzat and dignity which is collective. It's tibai, collective concept. We as a nation, sometimes people themselves are honored, personally speaking. This guy is an honorable person, this guy is not an honorable person. Sometimes nations collectively are considered to be either honored or dishonored. So izzat is of two types in Islam, personal and collective. Personally speaking, we are all respectable people, isn't that right? We all have respects. But collectively speaking, the Muslims are the most disrespected people on the planet. Isn't that right? Every now and then we are killed. You turn on to the news and you find bunch of mu'mineen are killed or jailed or tortured or maimed or injured, persecuted. Isn't that disrespect? Day in and day out, we are undergoing the worst kinds of disrespect that a nation as a nation can undergo through. Why? Because of the lack of government. Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka. Oh my Lord, we are keen towards you about an honorable government. Tu'izzu biha al-Islam wa ahla. Through that government, you're going to make Islam and the believers of in Islam, the followers of Islam, to be honored. Wa tuzillu biha. And through the government, you will make al-nifaqa wa ahla. You will make the nifaq and hypocrisy and those who belong to nifaq and hypocrisy. Through the government, you will make them dishonored. So how you can be dishonored collectively because of lack of your performance of the political and social obligations? And how can you become honored in the eyes of Allah and the Ahlul Bayt when you work collectively towards the honorable government? Siyasatima, ayna diyanatimas, wa diyanatima, ayna siyasatima. Isn't that right? The famous, famous sentence of Ayatullah al-Uzma Kashani Rahmatullah alayhi, who fought his jihad against the British colonialists. And his beautiful sentence, his historic sentence, is written on a note in the Islamic Republic. Siyasatima, ayna diyanatimas, wa diyanatima, ayna siyasatima. Our religion is our politics, and our politics is our religion. Imam Ali Islam has said himself, khairu siyasat al-adl, best of the politics is adl, justice. That's what we are talking about. When we talk about siyasat in Islam, we are talking about the justice system of Ahlul Bayt. The comprehensive social justice system of Imam Ali alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Holy Quran. And there are some of those silly people who say, no, Maulana, please don't talk about politics from the mimbar. This mimbar of Ahlul Bayt has nothing to do with siyasat. Please don't talk about politics from the mimbar. And I said to them, then why in the world do you complain against the Ashab of Saqifa? Because the people of Saqifa took away the siyasat and hukumat and kursi from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Isn't that right? They can't take away the deen from Imam Ali. Did they take away the deen of Imam Ali alayhi salam? They cannot. Nobody can take away the deen of Imam Ali from him. All they took away on Saqifa was the siyasat and hukumat and kursi of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Isn't that right? And you don't consider siyasat to be part of religion. So what's wrong if they did like this? Why are you complaining then? See how much far we have gotten from the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam himself. And that's the reason precisely why we have gotten so far in understanding the concept of the walayat of the faqih in the time of ghaybat. That's precisely the reason, because some people fail to understand the implications of the concept of the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. If they understood that and they had digested the concept of the walayat of Imam Ali, they would never have a problem in understanding the same concept today.
Allah.
We should thank Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayh for reconnecting us with the walayat of Ghadir, which is considered by our fuqaha and mutakallimeen and our research scholars and ulama as the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, as the an-ni'matul uzma, the biggest blessing of Allah, biggest ever blessing of Allah on the universe is the walayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And because of this separation of religion and politics, we find that you find the centers are being constructed. This center is $22 million. This one is $29 million. This is $14 million. And after making centers of multi-million dollars, we put a ban on all those ulama who talk about Walayatul Faqih and Yawm Al-Quds. And we think we are serving Islam, and you go and you find, no, our organization is working under the walayat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. Isn't that right? But we put a ban on even talking about his deputy. And then we think we are doing very well. There's nothing wrong with that. That's even worse. They're doing the wrong in the name of being right. Qurbatan ilallah. Isn't that right? And that's the role of the vegetarian mullahs, these veggie mullahs who are around, who are picking and choosing from the pack. Islam is a package deal. You cannot pick and choose like a fruit salad. You know, I like this, but I don't like that. It's not a fruit salad. Islam is a package deal. You have to take the whole of it if you are serious about your spirituality. You cannot pick and choose. That's not your choice. We are not like those yu'minuna bi ba'dhin wa yakfuruna bi ba'dh. They have iman about some and they have kufr about the rest. We are not like those. We have to take all. Isn't that right? So when we have to take all, is it our choice to pick and choose? That's exactly what the people of Kufa were doing. Picking and choosing. Praying. Let's look at the profile of the people of Kufa in the time of Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. Did they stop the prayers? Did you find in any history that the people of Kufa became Tarikus Salah? They quit the prayers in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. No! They were praying. Did the people of Kufa quit the concept of hijab? Women came out bare and naked without hijab in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? No! They were doing hijab. Did they quit the concept of khums and zakat and fitrah in Islam? No! Did they stop performing hajj? No! Did they stop fasting in the month of Ramadan? No! What was wrong? What happened wrong with the people of Kufa that their tadayyun and religious practice allowed the son of Fatima getting killed next door to the city? What happened wrong? Do you ever think we commemorate the Muharram Majalis and Safar Majalis every year? We are talking about Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Why are we here? Is that a rasm and tradition? If anybody is following a rasm and tradition, there is no sawab, brothers and sisters, in doing rasm and riwaj and taqaleed and adat and customs and traditions. We consider the majlis of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam as one of the biggest ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are here to worship Allah. Isn't that right? We are here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we talk about Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. Man arada an yanzura ila ahabbi ahli al-ardi was-sama' falyanzur ila al-Hussein. Whoever wishes to look at the most beloved person among the dwellers of heaven and the dwellers of earth should look at Hussein. So we are talking about the most beloved person. And the same beloved person is getting killed next door when Habib ibn Muzahir al-Asadi can ride his horse and come all the way from Kufa and join Imam Hussein ibn Ali and sacrifice himself the rest of the 18,000 of the mu'mineen who wrote letters could also have joined. Isn't that right? And could have made a difference. 18,000 as a minimum. Some of the histories talk about more, maybe 24,000 who were doing the oath of allegiance towards Muslim ibn Aqil. And they even prayed behind Muslim ibn Aqil. They prayed the prayers behind Muslim ibn Aqil. But then as he is walking out of the after the Jama'at prayers and moving towards the Darul Amara, the royal compound of Ibn Ziyad, and gradually the mothers are coming, grabbing hands of their sons, go back home, you don't need to be here, go back home. Mothers are coming, the history says, grabbing the hands of their children, taking their kids away from Muslim ibn Aqil after the prayers. So they did the prayers, they were not Tariq al-Salat. Yazid was not Tariq al-Salat either, because he did a Jummah prayers on a Wednesday because he was drunk. Isn't that right? So are we proud over just the hollow prayers without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt? That kind of prayers was being prayed by even the worst enemies of Ahlul Bayt. Umar ibn Sa'd was leading the Jamaat on that side, and Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam was leading the Jamaat on this side. And some people even said, kill Hussein quicker, man. Our Asr prayers has become qada. So are we silly enough to consider the prayers without the walayat of some to be the criteria to judge their tadayyun? After 11 shahadats of 11 imams, are we silly enough? What is missing? That missing thing needs to improve if we are muntazir towards the imam. That missing thing is required. And that's not something that Imam Sahib al-Zaman is the first one in the history doing this behavior, that he's away from us. Prophets of God have been doing the same. You find Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam propagating about Tawheed in Iraq. People didn't accept, continued to be kafir, and Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam left the community by saying, what? He's saying that a'tazilukum wama tad'una min dunillah wa ad'u rabbi. That means I'm leaving you, I'm distancing myself from you, in other words, and what you call other than Allah, and I call upon my Lord. I call my Lord. He left Iraq. So that's the tradition of the prophets of God. When the people don't listen, they leave them alone. Some people are like this. You know, no matter what you tell, they're not ready to change for their own lifestyle and conveniences. Finally, he came to Syria, Harran, city of Harran, where he discovered people are worshipping sun. Some people are worshipping moon. Some people are worshipping stars. And he tried to propagate them as well about Tawheed. And he said to them, "Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal-ardha hanifan wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen." I am turning my face towards the one who created the heavens and earth, fatara as-samawati wal-ardha hanifan wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen, and I am not one of those who are mushriks. So Prophet did, and then he migrated from Syria to Palestine. So that's a constant tradition of the prophets of God. Prophet Yunus propagated for 30 years in his nation, but the people didn't listen to him. So finally, he left the people. He left the people alone and warned them about the arrival of the Azab and punishment of Allah, and left them alone. That's a constant tradition of the prophets of God, and the same is practiced by Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. People, when they are not ready to listen, they need to be left alone so that they realize. That's how we realize the harder way. When we go through the pains, and when we go through the pains of zulm and injustice done towards us by the taghuts, after tasting the bitter taste of their zulms, that's how we learn to respect and value the value of divine justice that the Imam is going to implement.
That's how we will realize that without a government, we can never be honored. That's how we realize that unless and until we perform the political fara'is towards the wali and mawla of the imam of our time, none of our prayers are accepted by Allah, just like the people of Kufa have been praying. And all these prayers are deserved to be wrapped and thrown back at their faces. The prayers which allows Husayn ibn Ali to be slaughtered next door deserve to be thrown back at the faces of those people. The fastings which allow Husayn ibn Ali to be slaughtered, these fastings deserve to be thrown back at the faces of those people. These khums and zakat and hijab and fitra and you name it, which allows Husayn ibn Ali to be slaughtered next door, deserve to be thrown back at their own faces. Allah is ghani and samad, doesn't stand in need of this kind of hollow ibadat. So we need to understand the most important thing. We need to realize that. What is the most important thing? Prophet called this guy, he was praying. Isn't that right? They respond to the call of the Prophet. Prophet called him again. He didn't reply back. Happened several times. Then finally, when he was done with the prayers. See, people are so silly. They think that when they are praying, they are doing the best of the jobs. You don't understand that there are a whole bunch of list of things in Islam which are more important in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt than your prayers. You don't understand that? So Prophet had ilmul ghaib. He's calling you and he has the absolute knowledge of the unseen. Why in the world is he calling you when he knows that you are praying? Look how silly some people are. Because the priority list is messed up in their beliefs. They don't understand Islam. They think they do, but they don't. So Prophet called him several times. The guy didn't respond back positively, didn't come, because he continued to pray. How silly and ahmak some people are. Imam Ali Islam has already said in Nahjul Balagha, لا يقبل الله عملا إلا بمعرفة. Allah doesn't accept any action without ma'rifat. People lack basirat and ma'rifat and wa'i. If they didn't lack the wa'i and ma'rifat, we would never have Imam Baqir al-Sadr slaughtered in Iraq. They came for 3 days in the city of Najaf. People of Saddam came for 3 days announcing in the city of Najaf before slaughtering Imam Baqir al-Sadr that we have killed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. But they did not. They were testing. That was a litmus test of the ghairat of the community. Nobody protested. People of Saddam continued to announce the killing of Imam Baqir al-Sadr in the city of Najaf for 3 days. Saying that we have killed him, but they did not kill. No protest happened. Saddam understood that it's a dead city. It's a dead city. And then they went forward to kill him. So my question to you, that when the community's behavior towards the deputy of the imam is like this, what do you expect the community to do towards the imam? Exactly the same. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not sending Imam Sahib al-Zaman for us, because we don't deserve him. Allah is adil and just. Unless and until the community realizes and comes back to their senses and understand their responsibilities towards the walayat of the Imam of their time, nothing can improve and nothing should improve. Even if Allah comes and superficially imposes improvement on us, do you think those kinds of artificial improvement can survive for even a week? No way. Just suppose for a moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes another government in the country of Iraq, Islamic Walayatul Faqih style government in the country of Iraq. Do you think it's going to survive for even a week? We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all what He has done and all what He's doing. We thank him. In the Ziyaratul Jami'a, we do read that, O my Lord, make me such that I don't seek from you the ta'jeela ma akhartha, hastening in what you have destined to be delayed. O my Lord, make me such that I don't demand from you to hasten what you have destined to be late, what you want to be late. And wala ta'khira ma ajjalta, and I don't seek from you delay in what you think should be hastened. So what I was saying to you is that Abu Basir's story, when he comes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and says to him, Yabda Rasulullah Matal Faraj, oh the son of the Messenger of Allah, when is the opening? That means when would be, after all, when would be the government of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam established in the society? In other words, so that we can get rid of all these troubles and turmoils and pains and problems that we are facing today in our lives. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had the ilmul ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen. He understood the niyat of Abu Basir, from where he's coming from, what's his purpose of asking the question. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to him that وَأَنْتَ مِمَّنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا. In other words, are you one of those people who want dunya? Then why in the world are you asking that the faraj, the opening for Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam becomes quicker? Why? So that you get the relief from the pains and sorrows of your life? Is that what we intend? Then I'm doing the interpretation of the hadith to you. So we're not here to seek the ta'jeel of the zuhur of Imam for the sake of my personal relief. We are seeking the ta'jeel of the zuhur, which is mustahab to pray. It is mustahab in Islam that we pray and do the ta'jeel, do the dua that Allah hastens the appearance of the Imam for the sake of Islam, not for the sake of myself. There is a fine line between these two things. Praying to Allah for the ta'jeel of the Imam for the sake of the uplift of Islam and the izzat and dignity of Islam and Muslims and establishment of the divine social justice government on the whole planet as soon as possible for the sake of Islam and uplift of the Kalimatullah, the word of Allah, not for my personal interests. We are blessed to be living in the time of the Imam, for whom our sixth Imam has said, Wallahi law wajadtuhu la khadamtuhu ayyama hayati. I swear to Allah, if I had found him, I would have served him throughout my life. The grandfather of Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Salam, Imam Sadiq al-Salam, says, I would have served him throughout my life. We are blessed to be living in the time of that Imam. And the reason why he's called Al-Qa'im, because his nur up there, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qurb, among the anwar of Ahlul Bayt, among those lights, divine lights of the nur of Ahlul Bayt, his nur was the one which was standing up straight. And that's the reason we call him Al-Qa'im. Even up there, his nur was standing up straight, doing the qiyam. So we are blessed to be living in the time of that Imam. And if we start performing our obligations towards the Imam of our time, we find that we are successful. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to Abu Basir, Man arifa hadhal amr faqad farraja anhu lintidharihi. Whoever has the ma'rifat of this amr, in other words, whoever recognizes, who has the in-depth recognition of the walayat of the Imam of his time, he has already received the status of opening. He's already reached the level of opening. He doesn't have to worry about anything else. In other words, so what should worry and concern us, me and you, is that do we have the ma'rifat of the Imam? That's the right concern. Instead of asking when Imam is going to appear, that's none of your concern. It's none of your business when he's going to appear.
Just like the guy came and asked Rasulullah, when mata yawm al-qiyamah? When the day of judgment is gonna happen? Look at what the Prophet said. Prophet is the mazhar of all, the reflection of all the names of Allah and all the sifat and attributes of Allah, including al-hakim, al-mutlaq. Allah is all wise. The guy asked from the Prophet, when is the day of judgment? And Prophet said to him, what did you prepare for the day of judgment? And see, that's none of our business when the day of judgment happens. What it has to do with me and you? When the day of judgment happens? That unnecessary question. Imam Ali Islam has already said, sal amma ya'nika, ask what concerns you. Wala tas'al amma la ya'nika, don't ask what doesn't concern you. See, we're not so here to waste our times. It doesn't matter when the day of judgment happens. What matters for me and you for our eternal success, did we prepare what it takes to be successful on the day of judgment or not? That's what matters our lives. Did we prepare the iman and taqwa? If we did, we are successful whether the day of judgment happens tomorrow or after a million years. And if we did not prepare the iman and taqwa, even if we know when the day of judgment happens, what benefit it can provide to me and you about knowing the time frame of day of judgment if we don't have iman and taqwa? Isn't that right? So it's an unnecessary question. Unnecessary informations are never told by Allah intentionally. So we have 124,000 prophets of God. You cannot find more than 26 names of prophets in the Quran. You cannot find the 27th name of any prophet in the Quran. It's only 26. Unnecessary information. It doesn't concern me and you and our lives. Nobody's going to ask us on the day of judgment, hey man, let us know the list of 124,000 prophets, otherwise you can't enter the paradise. Unnecessary information. What it has to do with me and you when Imam Mahdi al-Islam is going to appear? What concerns me and you, do we have his ma'rifat? If we have the ma'rifat, we are successful. Whether he comes in my time, like my lifetime, or he doesn't come in my lifetime. Because even if I'm dead and Imam Sahib al-Zaman appears, the hadith from Imam Sadiq al-Islam says, Ata, he comes to the grave of the mu'min, fayuqalu. إِنَّهُ قَدْ خَرَجَ صَاحِبُكَ. In other words, that's مَضْمُونِ riwayah, that the Imam of your time, Imam al-Islam, will come to the grave of the mu'min and it will be said to the mu'min that your Imam, your Sahib has appeared. If you فَإِنْ شَئْتَ أَنْ تَلْحَقَ بِهِ فَالْحَقْ, if you want to join him, join. وَإِنْ شَئْتَ وَإِنْ تَشَاءَ أَنْ تَلْحَقَ بِهِ فَالْحَقْ وَإِنْ تَشَاءَ أَنْ تُقِيمَ فِي كَرَامَةِ رَبِّكَ فَأَقِمْ. If you want to join him, join him. And if you want to stay in the karamat and dignity of your Lord, stay. So anybody, we learn in the light of this hadith, any mu'min who dies with the ma'rifat of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, he is already counted among the companions of the Imam. And if we deserve to join the Imam, Imam will come to our grave and give us the option to be resurrected back from our graves and become alive again, so that we can join hands with the Imam's army. And if we don't have the ma'rifat, even if he appears tomorrow, what is the benefit that I can get if I'm not joining the Imam? Isn't that right? So it's an irrelevant question to ask, when is the zuhur of the Imam? People always ask, you know, what are the alamat? And I always say to them, you know, don't ask me about the signs, you know. I mean, don't focus about the signs. Don't focus on the sun and the moon and the stars. The solar eclipse and the lunar eclipse are happening untimely. Instead of the middle of the month and the end of the month, happening otherwise. Don't ask me about those things. Don't focus on those things, I mean. Stop focusing on those things. Because the sun and the moon are waiting for you, the humans, to improve themselves. The sun and the moon never disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sun and the moon never disobeyed the walayat of the Imam of their time. Isn't that right? So there's nothing wrong with the sun and the moon. They are perfectly obedient already to the Imam of their time. They are perfectly in sync, in obedience towards the Imam. They have nothing to improve. We, the humankind, need to improve in certain things. As soon as we improve in our behaviors towards the walayat, there will be solar and lunar eclipse taking place as soon as the humanity improves. So the sun and moon are looking towards you, the humankind. You are not supposed to look towards them. Isn't that pathetic? The human beings are looking towards sun and moon for the appearance of the Imam, where sun and moon are looking towards the humans to improve, so that they can have the eclipse untimely. What happened to the intellects of the people?
So, it is very important, brothers and sisters, that we have this correct understanding of the religion. And if this understanding was found, our 11 Imams would not face this hardship in their life. The hardships they faced, that Imam Kadhim alayhi salam says, "Inna Allah ghadiba ala Shia." Allah got angry on the Shias. "Fakhayyarani nafsi aw hum." Allah gave me two options. Either I protect myself, khayyarani nafsi aw hum, or I protect them. That means the Shias. "Fawaqaytuhum wallahi bi nafsi." I swear to Allah, I protected them by sacrificing myself. So Imam Qadhim alayhi salam sacrificed himself and protected the Shias. "Inna Allah ghadiba ala Shia." Allah became ghadabnak and angry over the Shias. That's the behavior of the community towards the Imams. Praying and fasting, and they think that's enough for becoming religious. Not doing any political fara'is towards the Imam of their time. The walayat of the Imam of their time. Abandoning the Imam. So much that the Imam of the time is isolated. Allama Tabatabai says that there is no single hadith narrated from Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. Imamat of Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam spans on 10 years. There's a 10-year span of Imam Hussein's imamat. There's not a single hadith from 10 long years of imamat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, there was no Shia to narrate a single hadith from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Isn't that a shame? Again, did the people stop praying and fasting? No. No clue in the history that in time of Imam Hussein, people stopped praying and fasting. But yes, religion and politics was made separate. Certainly, that was the fact. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam has no single hadith narrated in the 10 years of his imamat span. Unless and until Allama Tabatabai says that Imam Hussein announces his khuruj and uprising from the city of Medina. And from that incident onwards, this is just a matter of few months, isn't that right? In month of Rajab, Imam Hussein came out of his hometown of Medina, and in Muharram, he was killed. Just a matter of few last months of his life only, we have a very little amount of hadith narrated from this Imam. For the rest of the 10 years, no hadith. Isn't that a shame? So people had abandoned the Imam so much, isolated him, kept him alone, and they think they can run away with it. Prophet came, this guy used to have eyesight. And he was seen by some of the people as a blind guy. One person came to him, this guy belongs to Kufa. One person came to him, "What happened to your eyesight? I remember I saw you, you used to have your eyes." He said, "Yeah, but after the incident of Karbala, I saw in my dream, the Holy Prophet came in my dream and asked me, why didn't you help my son Hussein? And I said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, I was not even there. I was not even in Karbala. I was in Kufa." Prophet said, "But you knew that he's coming." You cannot furnish excuses in front of Rasulullah, can you? A person who has absolute knowledge of ghaib, commander-in-chief of the whole universe appointed by Allah, and you are furnishing excuses in front of him? Isn't that shameful? To furnish excuse in front of Rasulullah? But that's the way some people are.
So he said, he gave some other excuse in front of Rasulullah. And he says that in the dream I saw, he had a tasht, he had a bowl, a container with the blood of Hussein alayhi salam in it. And he dipped his hand in the blood and he rubbed over my eyes. And when I woke up, I was blind. So there's no room for ta'wil and tawjih and excuses, furnishing excuses left and right to justify the evil behavior towards the khiyanat and betrayal towards the walayat concept of Ahlul Bayt. There's zero tolerance law of Allah when it comes to the walayat. Like it or not, that's the way it is. Zero tolerance law towards walayat. First things first. So we find that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is stranded and he doesn't stand in need of us either. In the real sense, we stand in need of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam for our success. Isn't that right? Imam alayhi salam doesn't need to invite anybody. We need to invite to come to Imam Hussein. It is the ihsan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It is the great favor that Imam Hussein alayhi salam did, that he wrote a letter towards Habib ibn Mudahir. This is ihsan and favor of Hussein ibn Ali on Habib. Imam doesn't send a need of Habib ibn Mudahir either. Isn't that right? This is the ihsan of Hussein ibn Ali on Habib. Min al Hussein, as some of the scholars have narrated, min al Hussein ibn Ali ila rajul al faqih. From Hussein, son of Ali, to the man who is faqih. The knowledge, in-depth knowledge of Islam. Faqih is, literally speaking, is the person who has in-depth tafaqquh fi deen. Fiqh in Arabic means in-depth understanding. So he has in-depth understanding of the religion. He's Ahl Ma'rifat, he's Ahl Basirat, Ahlul Wa'i. Min al-Husayn ibn Ali ila al-Rajul al-Faqih. So Imam Hussein is sending letter to Habib ibn Mudahir. And then he says in the letter that we are surrounded by the enemies. And if you can come to join us, come. And وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And you know my relationship towards Rasulullah. Isn't that right? Habib ibn Mudahir knows it very well, because Habib is a lover of Hussein ibn Ali from his childhood. His father Mudahir alayhi salam, when he came to visit Rasulullah for the ziyarat of Rasulullah, and Prophet saw that his son, Mudahir's son Habib, is walking behind Hussein ibn Ali and he's picking up the soil from under the feet of Hussein and putting over his head. Picking up the soil under the feet of Hussein and putting over his head. This is the childhood of Habib ibn Mudahir. Look at how Hazrat Habib, Hazrat Mudahir has raised his son Habib on the love of Hussein and his walayat. So we find Prophet couldn't help. Prophet actually, it showed his extreme love towards Habib. Habib ibn Mudahir is the mahbub of Rasulullah. So Habib knows it very well, what is the karabat, what is the karabat and relationship that Imam Hussein has. How much karabat Imam Hussein has. As Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein are riding over the shoulders of Rasulullah on the occasion of Eid. Isn't that right? And somebody comes and praises the Prophet. What a great ride. What a great person who is giving the ride. And Prophet said about Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, that what great ride are those who are riding, in other words. So Prophet is praising them, attracting the attraction towards them. How much karabat they have towards Rasulullah. So Habib takes the letter and he comes inside his home. And his wife is there and she asks the husband, that whose letter is this? And he says, this is the letter from Hussein. My Mawla had sent this letter for me. And she says, what does Imam Hussein write in the letter? He says, my Imam Hussein has written that we are surrounded by the enemies. And you know my relationship with Rasulullah. If you can come to join us, come. So she said, then what are you thinking? She said, I'm thinking about you. What's going to happen to you if I leave?
And some narration says that this lady, she threw her chadar over the face, over Habib, and said that the son of Fatima is calling for help and you are thinking about me? If you don't go to Hussein to serve Imam Hussein, I will go myself to serve my Mawla Hussein ibn Ali. And Habib replies back that I was just testing you. Otherwise, how can it happen that my Mawla calls me for help and I don't join him? It's not going to happen from Habib. And as he was sitting in the shop of the person who sells the khidab and the color for the beard and the hair, and this guy was asking Habib to buy some color for his beard, Habib refuses by saying, I have decided to do the khidab and coloring of my beard with a color that is going to stay forever. That means Habib had decided to color his white beard, his gray beard, with the color of the blood. This is what Habib had already decided. So he sends his servant with the horse to go and wait on such and such point in the outskirts of the city of Kufa. And Habib will soon join him. And as Habib comes a little bit late, delayed, some of the narrations say that this servant was talking to the horse that, don't worry, if my master delayed, doesn't show up, I will ride you, your back, I will go myself to sacrifice my life for Hussein. So don't worry about that. Habib, as he heard that statement, he said to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, how much mazloom are you that even the servants, even the slaves are ready to sacrifice their life on you? And we find Habib said to his servant, I set you free for the sake of Allah. But the servant replies, this is not fairness, because as long as I stayed in your service, you kept me with you. But now that you are going to serve Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, you are leaving me alone. This is not going to happen. You have to take me alongside with you so I can sacrifice my life as well on Hussein. And Imam and Habib the Mazahir took him to the service of the Imam. And in Karbala, we find in Karbala, Imam Hussein was distributing the alam, the ra'yat. He's distributing the flags among the companions, among his followers. And one of the flags, Imam Hussein does not distribute. That flag was set aside. As somebody asked Imam Hussein, you did not distribute that one flag. And Imam replied, the one who deserves to get the flag is about to arrive. And that's where we find that after a short while, the dust appears from the side of Kufa. Habib ibn Mazahir showed up from the side of the Kufa to join the Imam. And Hazrat Zainab asked Fidwa to go and find out about this news, that who has arrived. Because of course, Hazrat Zainab had been listening to this news, that such and such army has arrived. The army of Umar ibn Sa'd has arrived. Such and such army has joined him. But this time, Fidwa came back and said that Habib ibn Mazahir, the old time companion of Hussein ibn Ali, he has arrived. And when Hazrat Zainab heard that statement, she said to Fidwa, go and say my salam to Habib. We find in the history, when Fidwa came conveying the salam of Hazrat Zainab to Habib, Habib sat on the ground. Habib sat down on the ground of Karbala and he started to pick up the soil and put over his head. You know, that what a time has arrived that Our Lady Zainab, Our Lady is saying salam to a servant like me.
Ala la'natullah على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين، لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان، واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. يا حسين.